This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:38 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're going to be moving on to our next story for this hour, which is about how logging activities in Orang Asli areas have restarted. So this is coming from the COAC, or the Centre for Orang Asli Concerns, and they reported on Facebook that logging activities in Perak and Kelantan have resumed when the RMCO began. So in Kampung Sungai Papan in Perak, Temia villagers rebuilt blockades across a road entering the forest, and that was to stop loggers from clearing land and cutting down trees in the Ayer Cepam Forest Reserve. These might sound familiar because this was the same site where some Temia activists were arrested and charged last year when conflict between them and a logging company escalated. So logging stopped for a while after Perak Menteri Besar Ahmad Faizal Azumu instructed companies to stop. The MB, however, only reacted when he was called out for not recognising Orang Asli claims to ancestral lands. However, with the change in state government, logging companies appear to be back in full force. Sadly, similar reports are also emerging in Kampung Kelaik in Gua Musang, Kelantan. The Temias there have had to confront bulldozers who want to clear land to plant Musang King durian trees. And at the end of the post by the COAC, it sadly notes, looks like it is back to the old normal for the Orang Asli. And I think that there are a few things to look at here because this is a perennial issue, and it's sadly one that seems to rear its ugly head every so often. And I think we also need to talk about, firstly, logging activities as a whole and what this means in those areas, whether or not there will be ever any resolution to the claims, the contesting claims being made. And the other side of it is, for the cases that are currently going through the court or that have gone through the court, what impact has the MCO had on them? So these are just some of the things that we're going to be exploring after this. We'll be speaking with Colin Nicholas, the coordinator for the Centre for Orang Asli Concerns. If you have any thoughts about this, any questions, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:44. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and our story right now is about how logging activities in Orang Asli areas in Perak and Kelantan have restarted. And we are going to be diving into this issue with Colin Nicholas, who is the coordinator for the Centre of Orang Asli Concerns. If you would like to weigh in on this, again, those numbers 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Colin, thank you so much for joining us. So could you walk us through the on-ground situation at Kampung Sungai Papan?
What's happening in Sungai Papan now is that the loggers who have stopped coming since August last year have now re-entered the village and the area, and with the intention to block the areas further in. So the Orang Asli there, the Temias, have blockaded the area and they started negotiating with the loggers.
And what has the interaction been like between the Temia community and the loggers?
They've had two meetings, yesterday and this morning, with the loggers. The loggers are offering to pay whatever, compensation they want, including building culverts and roads to their villages. But the community is dead set on not accepting any offer. They just want the logging stop. And they've also asked for to cite the logging permits or any other permits that they have, and none of this has been shown to them except just something on their handphone, and even that they were not allowed to copy or transfer over.
Okay, so what was the reaction of the villagers given that the Perak Menteri Besar had called for a suspension of logging activities last year?
Yeah, I mean, when the logging was stopped, or ordered to be stopped last year, on August 1st last year, of course everybody was happy, you know, because finally there was some response after a few months of blockades, both in Sungai Papan and earlier in Kampung Sungai Chunex, that the Menteri Besar was paying attention. But it turned out to be actually a kind of a veil over the actual intentions of the Menteri Besar. because the logging, although it was stopped in the Sungai Papan and Kampung Chunex area, actually continued in the post-PR area, the neighboring forest reserve. So the loggers merely moved their machinery to another area and started logging all the way. So even during the NCO, they were still doing the logging, post-PR, right up to post-Kama. So now they have finished those concession areas, and now they're coming back to Chunex and coming back to Sungai Papan.
And would you know if there had been talks between the state government and the Termiah community after the Menteri Besar called for the suspension?
For the people of Chunex and Papan, no, I do not know of any talks. For the orang asli in Kampung, the post-PR area, where the logging continued, yes, there were a number of police reports made and protests and so on, but still no reaction from the state.
And, you know, you mentioned Kampung Sungai Papan and Chunex earlier. Are other villages experiencing the same thing during the RMCO?
In the last week or so, the Termiah in Kampung Kelaik, which is on the road from Lodging to Gua Musang, they have again encountered with the engaged with the logging contractors with the bulldozers, because not so much to log the area because they've already logged the area, but they're going in to clear cut the area to grow Musang King durians.
And just to clarify, Colin, what was the situation with logging activities during the MCO?
I don't think logging was supposed to be stopped during the MCO. They had exemptions, from what I understood, because logging definitely was continuing in the post-PR area. And in Sabah, in Sarawak especially, they were also allowed to continue. So I think logging was one of those activities which were allowed to go on. It was considered an essential activity.
Now, the MCO period also meant that the proceedings of land rights cases in court have been postponed. Does that end up having any impact on the ongoing cases?
The MCO has affected at least one case which we are involved in. This is the Lugurantum case in Gopeng, which involves the construction of micro hydro dam on Orang Asli land. But now that the courts are resuming their hearings, that's going to be resumed next month. But otherwise, other activities, court cases, no, there'll be no other court cases going on.
Now, in the case of Perak, the state government saw a change of hands from Pakatan Harapan to Perikatan Nasional. Did that change have any impact on the rights of the Orang Asli in Perak?
As far as I can see, although there's a change of government from Pakatan Harapan to Perikatan Nasional, the Menteri Besar is still the same. And it's the same Menteri Besar who holds the view that the Orang Asli do not have ancestral rights in the land. There's no change, actually.
And looking then at Kelantan, I mean, in 2019, the Pakatan-led government sued the Kelantan state government for failing to uphold the land rights of the Orang Asli. What will happen to this case now that PAS has federal power?
Yes, that's quite interesting, because last year, Kelantan was in the opposition, and now Kelantan is in government, and the AG has also changed. And the AG supposedly representing the government, so we can expect the AG to eventually withdraw the case. That's what I expect anyway.
And as we're talking about these shifts and changes in government, do the current political tussles affect the rights of Orang Asli in any way?
Politics has always affected Orang Asli rights, you know, because they've been used to win votes. They've been used to as an argument for, you know, development and modernization and income for the state in terms of royalty and so on. So the change of government has affected, in the sense that now, in the past, under Pakatan Harapan, we had a more listening government. Now, nobody is even mentioning Orang Asli in any context at all so far.
So just heading back then to Kampung Sungai Papan, what might be next for the community?
We can expect confrontation between the villagers and the the loggers, because the community at Kampung Papan is very, very organized, very, very resistant to their tents being destroyed or locked by others. For sure, the loggers will not have an easy time riding roughshod over them. Police reports have already been made, And I know just now the police from Guamusang have gone to Kampung Kelaik to inquire about the situation there. So let's hope that the police also take a more objective and neutral stand in this position and not do as they always done, support the authorities, even without even citing the permits or logging concession licenses. They have always cited the loggers.
Colin, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. We just spoke with Colin Nicholas, who is the coordinator for the Centre of Orang Asli Concerns on the situation between the Temiah community and loggers. If you have any thoughts, anything that you'd like to weigh in on this matter, because of course we are seeing the resumption of logging activities as the RMCO kicks in, although there are some questions about whether or not, I think during the MCO itself, whether that made any difference. But if you'd like to weigh in, that number is 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Earlier on, we also spoke about online learning and the difficulties that university students have been facing. So if you want to chime in on that also, please do. In the meantime, we have some music. Here is Arctic Monkeys with Snap Out of It, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.